You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. Now, here is Dr. Meyer.
Are you a witness for God? As you deal with people in your home, in your neighborhood, at school, at your place of work, indeed, wherever you are with people, do you have a desire that they know the goodness that God has for all of us in His Son, Jesus Christ? For most of you, I suspect that the answer is yes. It may be true that you don't have a long list of people whom you have introduced to Christ. Don't let that bother you. Even the smallest effort, sharing a tract, offering a prayer, introducing someone to a pastor, these small efforts are significant and bring a tremendous satisfaction when someone comes to a saving faith in God's Son. So I suspect that you do think of yourself as a witness. If you're anything like I am, you may think, yeah, I'm a witness, but I'm not sure that I'm a very good one. I often feel that way. Sure, I can preach a sermon, but when it comes down to one-on-one, I often feel at a loss for words. There are tragedies in life that we bring upon ourselves. There are parents who mourn the death of a child because they left a loaded gun in an unprotected place where their child found it and shot himself. There are tragedies that other people bring upon us. A drunk driver caused an accident in which your loved one died. Although the explanation doesn't make a tragedy any less painful, there sometimes is an obvious explanation. But other tragedies, like the Red River flood, cannot be explained very easily. The people of the Red River Valley stood helpless as the river devastated their homes and their livelihood. All the sandbagging came to naught. Media attention and relief efforts haven't put life back together again. So what do we witnesses say about God to someone whose home and livelihood have been destroyed through no fault of their own? Witnessing sometimes seems so hard because you and I can't make sense out of it. Sure, I could mouth religious clichés, and those religious clichés are full of meaning for me, so I'm not putting down someone who uses the well-worn statements like, all things work together for good. But the fact is that those good old statements don't explain what has happened. My mind wants to understand, doesn't yours? Our desire is to say, we can explain what's going on here. But our minds don't understand, and you and I often cannot give witness to a rational explanation of what has happened. It simply doesn't add up. I never was very good at math, at adding things up, or dividing them, or whatever. Poor Mr. Barry. James Barry was my freshman algebra teacher at Bloom High School in Chicago Heights, Illinois. That poor man. So many days after school, I'd walk into his classroom and say, Mr. Barry, I don't get it. He would patiently explain it, and explain it, and explain it. I wasn't sure that I was getting it, but I must have. I passed freshman algebra. With a B, I think. It was in looking back that I saw I was indeed learning some algebra. And there's a lesson here for witnessing. We understand so little about the way God deals with us. When something bad happens, we're often unable to give a rational explanation. It does not seem to add up. But it's when you look back, maybe 6 months, a year, 10 years later, when you look back, you often see the good hand of God. We see God in retrospect. Our brains don't understand what God is doing now, But in 6 months, a year, 10 years, or at the end of life, we'll see how God was working all things for our good. I did pass algebra. I didn't think I understood, but as time passed, I saw that I was indeed learning. You can witness by inviting people to look back. In the Creed, we confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. God the Father not only made the world, the Bible teaches that He preserves us. Psalm 36, verse 6, O Lord, You preserve both man and beast. Looking back at the Bible, we see that is true. God provided for Elijah and the widow woman and her son during a famine in the land of Israel. God also provided for the children of Israel during their wanderings in the wilderness. Speak about a flood! God preserved Noah and his family in the worst flood the world has ever seen. Hasn't God the Father also preserved you? Look back at the tough times in your life. Perhaps you've had medical crises in your life. Perhaps financial. Perhaps problems in relationships. I don't mean to suggest that these were welcome times. They definitely were not. You wish that God would not have let them happen. But He did. And He brought you through them, didn't He? Look back in your own life and witness by inviting other people to look back. You can witness by inviting people to look back at Jesus. He's always been there for you and for others. His arms have always been open for you to come. Matthew 11:28, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Although since the ascension we can't see Him with our eyes, we know that those open arms carry the print of the nails in His hands. Those wounds received on Good Friday were part of the price He paid to rescue us from the eternal judgment our sins merit. I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, verse 10. So Jesus, Son of Man and Son of God, offers you forgiveness. Hasn't that comforted you many times in the past? You were feeling lousy because you had sinned against someone. While that sin damaged the relationship, Jesus was there to bring you God's forgiveness. In the eternal scheme of things, damaged relationships are easier to bear when you know that God has forgiven you. Look back in your life and invite others to look back with you. Jesus has always been there for troubled consciences. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And don't hesitate to come, even if you have neglected Jesus in the past. John chapter 6, verse 37, I will never turn away anyone who comes to me. In the Creed, we not only confess our belief in God the Father and God the Son Jesus, but we also confess our belief in the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. Here too, we grow in our understanding and in our witness to others by looking back. We don't know why God lets some things, like the Red River flood, happen. Isaiah 55, verse 9, As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What I do know, and what I suspect you know too, is that when our life has been turned topsy-turvy, we are forced to re-examine our priorities. A woman in Ada, Minnesota, said of the flood, We learned that the most important things in life are not things. We grow in our understanding and in our witness by looking back and questioning our priorities before the trouble came. Were earthly concerns your priority? Was it getting ahead by making good money? Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We didn't bring anything into the world, and we can't take anything out of it. As long as we have food and clothes, we should be satisfied. But people who want to get rich keep falling into temptation. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people who have set their hearts on getting rich have wandered away from the Christian faith and have caused themselves a lot of grief. Perhaps wealth wasn't your goal. You were just struggling to keep up with all the things that needed to be done. Luke chapter 10, Martha was upset about all the work she had to do. So she asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you worry and fuss about a lot of things. There's only one thing you need. Mary has made the right choice, and that one thing will not be taken away from her." It's a learning experience to look back at your past priorities. Ken Hemphill, the president of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, suggests three questions that can help you dialogue with someone who needs to make the life of faith the first priority. What is your religious heritage? You can ask. Second, has your heritage helped you answer the important questions you are asking in life? And third, what are the questions you are asking? Now, whether it's the flood or some other trouble, these are great questions to keep in mind as you are speaking with someone who's trying to make sense out of what happened. The new priority, to seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, is the work of God the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 7, the corrupt nature has a hostile attitude toward God. It refuses to place itself under the authority of God's standards because it can't. That's a bummer. The good news is 1 Corinthians 6:11. You have been washed and made holy, and you have received God's approval in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. The Holy Spirit indeed is the Lord and giver of life. When the announcer told you the title of today's message, 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1, you probably thought that I can't add very well. Well, as I told you, I did have trouble with freshman algebra. But this is an equation that we can use and share in our witness. 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. One God is the way God reveals himself to us and the way God helps us through life. There is only one God. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, no God exists except the one God. The Bible also teaches that there are three persons of God. Matthew 28, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. These are three separate and distinct persons, not merely three ways God deals with us, not three forms God takes, three separate and distinct persons, and yet only one God. The math doesn't add up, not for me, not for anyone. Our limited brain power cannot understand God's being. But the equation works when we look back and see how God has dealt with us. I borrowed the title 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1 from Dr. Hans Lutz Petsch, who for many years was the faithful director of our Lutheran Hour office in Germany. In a sermon with this title, Dr. Petsch said, "This much is very clear. God is completely different than we are. If we could comprehend and grasp him, he wouldn't be God. Whoever wants to know the Holy Trinity must at the same time look at God's actions for us." So, when the experiences of life aren't adding up, when things are making no sense, look back and see what God has done for you. The Father has preserved you in the past. He'll bring you through now. The Son has brought you forgiveness. Believe on Jesus. And the Holy Spirit puts priorities right when he works faith in your heart. This math works. And yes, you are a witness. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.